And this is your host, Julio Martinez. You are in for another session of Arts in Review. And this afternoon, we are going to be celebrating the life, the mystery, the myth, and the legend of that glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid. Both the myth and the fact. And there's got to be a lot more myth than fact these days. The play, actually, it's, I would call it a Wild West 19th century music hall review. The glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid. And this is not a local homegrown production. This is out of New Mexico. And I'm going to ask you, sir, Joe Paracchio, what is the Triplock Company?
Triplock Company, well, we're a professional ensemble of theater artists that we're based in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we create original work and tour around the world with it.
And you toured to the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, well, actually, this show's been on tour for 2 years. We've played in Chicago, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We've also in Scotland. We played in Serbia, Germany, Poland, and now Los Angeles. So we're sort of all over the place to theater festivals and venues in major cities around the world.
And joining Joe this afternoon is Carrie Morrigan and Kate Schrader. You are both ensemble members.
Yes.
Of Triplock. And you guys are out of New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How long have you been in existence?
The company has been alive for 11 years now. We are in our 11th season, about to go into our 12th.
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Did you found the company, Joe?
Well, actually, some other folks founded it, and about 6 months later, they stopped founding it. And Carrie and I joined with the second production of the company about 11 years ago, 10 years ago.
And you had a revolution, a coup, and took over?
Well, sort of. You know, sometimes in the theater business, that amounts to just people walking away and other people, you know, resurrecting. But essentially, we've been with it the whole time, to tell you the truth. And then Kate's been with us maybe 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, since 2001.
Yeah.
The thing that really attracted me when I was starting to watch the play roll along, the show roll along, is the commedia dell'arte aspects of the show. My first professional experience was with a company, the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and we did pretty much all commedia. Mm. And I was just enjoying it like heck. How did you come about taking on Billy the Kid, the subject matter, aside from the fact that he's a New Mexico legend?
You know, we started writing. I first put some, you know, pen to paper on this thing maybe 2.5, almost 3 years ago. Around an idea, I had done a lot of training with a Polish theater company, post-college company called Garżenica Theater Association in Poland, whose work really revolves around recreating and investigating the original theater of different cultures. So they do a lot of work with the Greeks, you know, things like this, and they really go there and really study how the Greeks actually created their theater, et cetera. And I was sort of fascinated with that concept, and I thought, well, what was the first original theater of the United States? It was circus, and it was Wild West shows. And I was particularly drawn to this idea of how a culture creates its own story and performs it. And as I was looking into that, you know, all of those things, all of those shows were based on large spectacle, incredible physicality and theatricality of the day, but also very rough. And also then that sprung into looking into what the subject matter of the Wild West show was. And typically it was Manifest Destiny. It was conquering the Indians. It was killing people. It was the savagery of the West, which then led to further looking into, like, who were the heroes of that day? And Billy the Kid. And then I started to really wonder, what is it about our culture that celebrates people for simply being murderers, which continues to this day, even if we're not celebrating them, we're making icons out of them.
He was one of America's first celebrated serial killers.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Billy the Kid, is that he's really not famous for anything but killing people. You know, he didn't do it for any good reason. He just killed folks.
Yeah. I remember that movie with Emilio Estevez playing Billy the Kid, and looking at a guy and saying, "Do you want to become famous?" Meaning that just for me killing you, your name will go down in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it continues now. I mean, we don't actually celebrate them, but we do give them monikers, and we somehow they become famous. Take the Columbine killers,
right?
The Beltway snipers. You know, we don't know who those people are, but it doesn't matter. They're these outlaws that we follow on AOL to see if they got someone else, and it's very unfortunate and scary about our culture, but we are fascinated by these things, and so there's all the departure points that began the look into what made this play.
Carrie and Kate, you guys do a lot of different vaudeville skills up there. Including flying the lowest trapeze I've ever seen.
You should see it at our space at Albuquerque. We have 8.5-foot ceilings in Albuquerque, so it's even lower at that space.
It's kind of like a flea circus.
Yeah. It's amazing what you will accomplish when you have such little to work with.
And there's a lot of acrobatics involved. Mm-hmm. It's really a trick and a bit of a conceit for six people to take on the aura of a Wild West show.
Yeah.
You know, but you guys move around quite a bit up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you even incorporate some sleight of hand magic. You break the fourth wall. Your character is very interesting, Joe. He's sort of an all-purpose villain.
Yeah, he is. Actually, I don't normally perform in this show. I normally was just writing and directing the company. But the lead actor who plays the role that I play, it was the villain Jack Malone, who's Billy's first kill, couldn't make it on this tour, so I had to play it. And he's actually a magician. I mean, I'm not a magician, but he taught me the tricks I have to know to be able to pull off the show.
Now, this is where history and fact and fiction sort of collide here. From my historical data, there was no character Jack Malone.
Well, what are you reading, William? I don't know. Well, that's interesting. You know, when we first started doing this, we're like, well, what is the real story of Billy the Kid? And as you said earlier in your intro, there's a lot more myth and a lot more legend than there is fact, depending on who you talk to.
Well, you do include such correct historical characters as his mother, Jack Tunstall, the rancher who befriended Billy, and Pat Garrett, who originally befriended Billy, and then they got on odds out, and eventually it was Pat Garrett who shot him and killed him in the middle of the night.
We think.
And I was expecting, because they're such rich characters, I was expecting Lew Wallace in there, the governor of New Mexico, who tried to pardon Billy and actually double-crossed him, but is more famous for writing the book Ben-Hur.
That's right, yeah.
And also that great and glorious escape he did from the Lincoln County Jail.
Yeah,
I thought that would have been really ripe for a Marx Brothers farce.
Well, one of the things I said to the company early on when we started doing this is that there were probably 1,000 plays about Billy the Kid we could write.
Sure.
But we just had to write this one. The most important book that I found that really helped us a lot, and we read everything related to Billy the Kid, including, like, you know, Pat Garrett's book about Billy the Kid, was a book called by Stephen Tatum, and it's called Inventing Billy the Kid. And it concerns itself more with the legend and what Billy the Kid has meant to pop culture over the last 100 years than it does with the facts. And it touches on a lot of things, but really it's about the development of an icon like Billy and how we continue to develop icons and pass that crown on to other people. And that was really amazing. And it also freed us up. We didn't have to make the authentic, true, factual story,
right,
although we say we do. Because, you know, he was blown out of proportion even then. It was the birth of the tabloid age and the dime novels that were sensationalizing him. So we just ran with that, which seems to me a lot more interesting than what the truth is.
Right. The same kind of mythology happened to Wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill. There were people writing dime novels about them, about their miraculous exploits when they were doing nothing but passing out in bars. And but it made for very good reading. You play an interesting character, Kate. Actually, two characters that really interested me. You're sort of the novice member of the company who just holds the clock at the beginning. And you have this wonderful, goofy look on your face. Like, why am I here? But I better keep smiling.
What's about to happen?
And then later on, you play Billy's love interest.
Right. And also the man who kills him later on.
And also the man who kills him later.
I'm a woman of many trades in Billy's life.
What was your early training?
My early training, I got an undergraduate degree at the University of New Mexico, but I also trained with the Gardzianice Theater Center of Poland, and have also taken workshops with Anne Bogart of City Company in New York, and workshops with Daniel Stein of the Del Arte Physical Theater, and also have a background in dance and gymnastics.
That
so,
helps.
Yes, all of that kind of came together for me in an interest in creating theater that is larger than life, that is big in size, but honest in its emotions. So I think that that was part of our focus in creating very large melodrama in this play, but also keeping it so that it speaks to the audience in a sort of visceral and real way, so they're still connecting with the characters that are on stage.
Are you from New Mexico originally?
I am. I grew up in New Mexico.
Oh, my goodness. Do you ride?
Long ago. On turkey track ranches.
I once had a woman who did a one-person show about being the daughter of hippies who all moved to Taos, New Mexico, and there was this warfare between all these hippies coming in and the residents of Taos. And in order to make herself, since she was blonde, in order to get along, she became a really good writer. And she said sometimes it helped her escape.
You know, we're a bunch of city kids.
Yeah.
We're city kids, urban theater makers.
So. Carrie, you from New Mexico?
No, I was actually born in Oregon, and I lived in San Diego for a while and Texas for a while, and then I went out to New Mexico to go to college.
And what is your training? What is your background?
I went to a performing arts high school in Dallas. So I was able to kind of really focus on theater beginning then. And then I studied at the University of New Mexico. And I, too, have trained with a variety of the aforementioned people, Garjanitsa City Company, Lee Worley of the Open Theater, a wide variety of people. Our company has a very strong philosophy of continuing education for ourselves. So we, while none of us are at the university anymore, we're always looking for training opportunities wherever we go, wherever we tour, and wherever we are. We're always trying to keep up on our game.
How did the name Triplock come along?
It's Triplock.
Triplock. I said Triplock. Triplock.
That's all right. I've heard
Triplock. Yeah, Triplock. Yeah.
I've heard Tricky Track. We came up with the name because we were brainstorming on what kind of name we wanted for our company that would represent poetic work, challenging work, fun work with a sense of humor, but work that took a theater work that took a challenge at hand and brought the audience on a journey. And we started messing around with names, and
we used to be called Riverside Repertory Theater Company. I don't know if you do a Google search on Riverside anything, you get about a million hits on a variety of different theaters and mortuaries and elementary schools.
That sounds like the kind of theater company that would do The Odd Couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, say no more. Right. That's why for an experimental theater company that wanted to, you know, create new work, it wasn't exactly right. So we stumbled upon Triplock because it to us it was fun to say, it was poetic, and it also sort of represented like a Rubik's Cube or a lock that snaps shut on you. It's a challenge to open and decipher. We like that relationship with our audience, to create work that the audience has to go on a journey with us for.
Well, I'm going to do this commercial for the company, and then we're going to actually play a cut of the soundtrack. And while you sing over the soundtrack, this is modern radio. Anyway, it is the glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid. It's at one of our local theaters. It's a visiting production at Sacred Fools Theater at 660 North Heliotrope Drive in Hollywood. It's a short run. You're performing this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's tonight, tomorrow, and this coming Saturday at 8 p.m., and you close Saturday night.
Yeah, we've been here for, I guess, 9 performances over 10 days. We just got back from Scotland, and we opened last week before Labor Day, and this is the last 3 nights. We have a great review, too, in the L.A. Weekly right now, which is really awesome. We're hoping that sort of gets folks in the last 3 nights.
Good, good, good. And the number to call is 310-281-8337. 310-281-8337. Now, there's a lot of music in this show. Some of it is a cappella, some of it is pre-recorded, and you sing over a soundtrack, which is what we're going to hear right now, because I love a lot of the ballads. Now, this is an original song, right?
Yeah. Joe wrote the words for the song, and then our sound designer and composer wrote the music.
So we are going to be listening to Carrie Morrigan. It's called The Ballad of the West, and it's from the production The Glorious and Bloodthirsty Billy the Kid.
Sorry. There are many things we think of. Imagining the Wild West.
Yeehaw!
Burning deserts and cactus for miles. Brave men with stars on their chest. There are legends of derring do by cowboys and outlaws too. Taking flight into the night to delight in the fight for freedom and loot. A time of youth and of glory, when white man could make his story, fighting engines and settling the West to make our lands and our lives the best. In the world's mighty gallery of pictures hang the real scenes painted from life. And I'm here to report, I don't want no retorts. They're painted with real blood and strife.
Well, well, Los Angeles, how y'all doing tonight? Do I have a house full of rowdy cowboys out there? Let me hear y'all say yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
All right, that was pretty good. We'll work on that.
There once was a child, it was sad but true. Family killed on the trail, an ambush.
She was too
rough. Guts in the tree, holes in their heads, blood in the sand, and pine box beds. Jesse James was to blame. This was his fame, truth be told, my friends. Jesse James?
Yeah.
Was a dame! Yeah, you can't believe everything you read in the papers now, can you? Los Angeles, that's a nice big city you got here. I like things big myself. Let me see your boots, honey. I'll see you in my dressing room. Where the famous men come cards and cheating. In the bloody town of Tombstone one evening. String them up, they said. Kill them good, kill them dead. And these two vicious men wet their pants and fled. Now who were these dandies who cried and ran away?
Ooh.
Just good old Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. But folks, there's a real killer we'll never forget. He's known as the Kid, barely written of yet. He's the hero of then, when men were still men, with strong hands, quick tongues, and big, big guns!
Woo! Not like now, when we talk and negotiate.
Instead of blasting the bastards we hate,
woo!
The glorious sun blood thirsty Billy the Kid spread fear through the hearts of all men. He's the prodigal son of the wild, wild west, when random acts of violence made perfect sense. But those days are done.
No.
Now it's 1881.
Oh.
And we've changed to a civilized age. Oh. Cowards sit in the bars and they thank their stars. The Kid's dead and they turn the page. But tonight let's retreat from this boredom of peace to a time when legends were made.
Yeah.
When you hope for good cards, the one laying quick death. And that there was a God as you gasped your last breath. When boys could still become killers, famous in a day. And hell on earth was the best way to describe our brief lives in those hard days. Friends, try not to get lost in the glory, the blood, and the glory. It is how I'm not truly qualified to tell you Billy's story. Settle up, sit tight, and prepare yourselves for a chilling, fabulous thrill.
Woo-hoo!
Ladies and gents, our MC tonight, the amazing Wild Bill!
And that's how the show begins. That's an aria. That's quite a workout, but it certainly does set up the show, and we've been listening to the power lungs of Kerry Morrigan from the Trick Lock Company out of New Mexico, out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, who are currently doing the glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid. And I should say you are listening to 90.7 FM, Pacifica Radio for Los Angeles. If you're in the Santa Barbara area, you're hearing us over 98.7 FM. And if you're roaming the graveyards of New Mexico right now, you can hear us stream live around the world in real time on kpfk.org. Some of the theatricality of the show had me interested because some of it was pure epic Brechtian theater there. And I swear you stole an idea from William Saroyan's Our Town.
Oh, you think so, do you?
Yeah.
you're talking about our dead people.
Yes, I'm talking about. Not only do you kill them, you bury them, but you let them have lines afterwards.
Yeah, they have whole conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. It seems in our play that all the dead people who get killed by Billy the Kid soon become his allies, and they cheer him on from the grave. It's an honor to be killed by Billy the Kid. It means you're going to be famous, which seems to be what everyone is looking for, fame.
Yes.
And I suppose we did kind of steal it from Our Town. It also probably goes back to what you said earlier about it being sort of Brechtian theater. I mean, what we tried to make is a play that's very much aware of itself as a play, and so it does draw on other famous plays. That might resemble it. It's kind of an ode to theater in general. Even Wild Bill, I mean, our lead, the director and creator
right.
of the show who runs the whole thing. You know, we're making fun of the ego of directors and the ego of creators of theater who feel as though they are the masters of the universe. You know, I think for a lot of theater folks, there's going to be a lot of inside jokes like what you picked up on with Our Town.
You also make some sly commentaries about contemporary life and how politically correct we all try to be, how it seems impossible to do any kind of, no matter how horrible the deed, there is an orderly process that will keep you around for the next 20 years while they work it out in the courts. I was reading one report of someone who committed a murder and went to trial and was hung 3 weeks later. And that was the way, pretty much, 3 weeks was a long time to wait to be hung. And it is a whole different age now.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at our play, the whole issue of content versus form, you know, the play, at first glance could be taken as just pure entertainment. There's lots of singing, there's lots of dancing, acrobatics, trapeze, card tricks, fun stuff. You know what I mean? It's all sort of got this air of levity, and what's built underneath it is a commentary on our modern politics right now and our the way we deal with violence in our American culture. But it's all sort of given with this spoonful of sugar. You know, so you know that whole thing really rings true. We're being as rugged cowboys from the West. We're being terribly PC in the way we deliver our subtle or maybe not so subtle message.
Now, way back when I did 3 seasons at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it was interesting this international crowd of theater goers to see you. How were you received in Scotland?
You know. It's a really amazing time to be doing a show, an American piece that's so overly American, very patriotic in a way.
At first glance,
yeah. To be doing that show in a place where you know, for instance, in the UK, where they're our biggest ally in a war that's extremely controversial right now. Great feedback from the audience. Really great. A lot of people, though, I would probably think a lot of people in Edinburgh didn't quite get it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite get that we were being, as Carrie said, you know, pretty sly with our satire of our own culture.
It's a hard show to market in that sense. You know, we got out there as the cowboys trying to market our show, and I think they're kind of sick of Americans right now. You know what I mean?
So who isn't in a way? But, you know, I would say, though, that, I mean, we did extremely well there, great reviews and things like that. But the place where they received it the best and the most enthusiastically was probably Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer we played in Belgrade.
You did?
Yeah, which we were hosted by a great theater there called Da Theater. It was probably 100-150 seat house, and we were sold out every night. There were like 17 members of the press there the first night. And keep in mind that Serbia is a place that the United States was just bombing years ago.
Right.
4 or 5 years ago. you know, under the Clinton administration, or more than that, I guess maybe 6 years ago. But and so they're extremely curious about what we think of ourselves and what America, America's impression of America is, and that whole story. So they came out in droves. They were curious. They had the best questions. I mean, it was just amazing, you know. And it's a different time now. It's a different time in Western Europe. It's different than Eastern Europe. And
our hosts, Daw Theater, also explained to us that they feel like the Serbians feel like they share a bloodthirsty sort of history with America, you know. And that was their impression of another reason why a lot of people came out, was because they have a long-standing history and culture of violence like America does.
I would also probably speculate that. I guess I've found, too, that American audiences really love the show. And it's probably because we're really curious right now about what in God's name is running through our minds. You know, what is driving us in everything that we're doing? And that's not to say that the show is overtly, slamming on the behavior of the United States around the world. But it is really calling a lot of things into question. Like, what are the roots of our behavior? Where is this coming from? What is all this manifest destiny? What is this if I can see it, I can own it mentality? What's going on? And we don't pose any answers. We just throw a lot of questions out there that will hopefully stir the pot.
There's one sequence I was curious about, what led you to choose to do it. It's not fact, so I had a feeling it was more attitude. It's when Billy the Kid and one of his gang members play this little game of, how many times can they shoot this poor old guy and still keep him alive before they kill him? And it was that purely to show how far down the road that Billy had traveled from the callow, young, sweet little child he was at one time?
Yeah, well, there's certainly that. The idea behind that probably was something I say about the show often, is this play is about a young man with any potential growing up and choosing his path. And he could have done anything. As we say in it, he could have been president. And then we say, a cowboy for president? Are you out of your mind? He had lots of potential. That scene late in the play definitely revolves around things like the Beltway Sniper.
Oh, by the way, as we wrap up, I'm sorry, a half hour goes by really fast here. And we need to make way for KPFK's midday news. But I want you all to see if you can get out to see the glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid. It's a very original style theater in this town that produces more theater than any other place in the world. This is truly an original show to see. The glorious and bloodthirsty Billy the Kid at Sacred Fools this Thursday through Saturday. It closes Saturday night. Call 310-281-8337. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for having you.